And you've just entered the law offices of Quibble, Squabble, and Bicker. If you've come for actual legal advice, you need to turn right around, honey. You need to get out of here, because you ain't going to get none of that. They quibble, and they squabble, and they bicker. But if you want to hear meaningless opinions, this is the right place. They got plenty of that. Stuff that makes no sense at all. They go off on tangents. It's crazy talk. If that's your thing, keep listening. They'll keep talking.
Oh, no, no. Oh, no, no. It's another episode of the Law Offices of Quibble, Squabble, and Bicker. You've entered the Law Offices of Quibble, Squabble, and Bicker.
Yay!
Welcome back to another episode of the Law Offices of Quibble, Squabble, and Bicker on this January 13th, 2021. Trump has still not conceded the election. There have been riots in the Capitol. They're talking about impeaching him for the second time, and we'll just keep going with our show. Tonight, we have an incredibly very special guest. His name is Scott Valentine. You may have seen him on Family Ties playing Nick, the boyfriend of Justine Bateman's character. You may have heard his voice on Phantom 2040 back in the 90s. It was a popular cartoon at the time, and he was the Phantom himself. And or you may have seen Black Scorpion, a show that I believe was on the Sci-Fi Channel. And so we're very, very happy to see him. Later on, he'll help us. He'll be guest counsel when we tackle the client, You Light Up My Life Sustainably. But we'll just start things off with either Brendan or Greg. If you want to ask Scott something pertinent to anything, that'd be a good way to start this thing.
Well, I just want to say, hey, thanks for coming.
hey.
So, Scott, I did want to ask you, Scott. So, on YouTube, you can see the pilot episode of The Art of Being Nick. Did you have high hopes for that show? Were you like, because it was a pretty decent sitcom for the time, you know, like not, it was like, I don't see why this wasn't a show other than other shows from the time. It was pretty well made, and you know, Julie Louise Dreyfus was in it, for God's sakes. So did you have high hopes for that? Were you like, this is it?
Matt, is it permissible to offer gratuitous oral gratification to Greg for such a beautiful question?
Greg would appreciate it. Greg would gladly visit you in New York and
talk about that kind of stuff often. So
Greg, not that it's gay or anything. Time. Not that gay's bad, okay? It's not bad. Oh God! Now we're going to be slammed on by the LGBTQ folks.
Right. No, we won't, because we had a friend of mine who was on about 2 months ago. Actually, it was in October, and yeah. She was the person who spearheaded the Portland Queer Festival here in Oregon. So we're good in that.
Oh, so we have a shield now.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe we don't anymore. I don't know. That could have just changed all of a sudden. All good credibility may have just been washed out the window for whatever.
Hey, we are friends of all our brethren and sisters. Okay, we are. All
right. Brothers, sisters, them.
Brothers who
them,
become sisters. Sisters become them. Brothers.
Greg, I will answer your question, but I'm a little confused. When we have people that are transitioning, okay, as there has been recently a few. Actors, actresses that have gone from guys to gals, and I don't know what the proper terminology is. I don't mean to sound like an old gray.
It's probably not guys to gals, but yeah, I'm sure there's a better word.
Okay.
guys to gals.
Would like to be referred to as in the sort of the plural pronoun as they or them.
Well, apparently the way it works is it's dependent upon the individual. It's the part of the whole gender fluidity crossover. So yeah, a lot of times, I don't know if you've been seeing this on people's Facebook pages or other places where they'll put the pronouns they want to be referred to. So some people do want to be referred to as they or them, but others want to be referred to by he or her, or there's some other ones which I can't remember off the top of my head.
I don't have a problem with the he or her, and I feel for folks that were born with this body and feel that it should be that body. Mm-hmm. You know, it's hard enough growing up and knowing I was this body and wanting to live that body and live that way. Or have,
Same here.
That preference or that what that as I identified as, whichever is grammatically correct. I don't want to be rude.
I think it's right.
But when an individual wants to be referred to as they or them, would you go get them? And I'm referring to a singular, not a plural. I'm grammatically incorrect, aren't I?
Yeah, you are. And I think what you're thinking of is Ellen Page, because I really thought
Elliot.
That
Elliot, now
it's Elliot. It's Elliot. On, but Elliot, Ellen, Elliot now is a they or them. Like I because I dialed that in. My daughter went to a very liberal arts college up in Washington, and I've been schooled on it. I'm kind of an old guy and I don't get it, but you know, I'm one of those guys that goes, you know what? That's cool. I don't care. I have a hard time remembering all the stuff, but yeah, you know,
that's the hard part. Like whenever the cis thing came about, I'm like, cis.
What? I'm a snake now.
That's CIS, right? And it, which signifies basically being straight or somebody who doesn't have the, I guess, the inclination to be, to have identity issues of that nature. You know,
Matt, do you know, being in Portland, what the CIS actually stands for?
No, it doesn't. It's not an acronym. Apparently, it's just shortened from something. Yeah, I can't remember exactly. And we're really going off the rails here.
Yeah, I got very confused how we started.
I think we're off to an auspicious beginning.
But we can get back to the movie industry, because think of the Wachowski brothers, because they're now the Wachowski sisters.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I love this camera that you can do this with it. Isn't that cool? All right. Back to Greg's question. Greg, I thought that show was going to fly high. I got fucked royally. Can we cuss on this show? I'm
sorry. Yeah. May as well. You've already begun like before we did for once. So go for it.
I got fucked royally. It was the third pilot that they did for the Nick character. First one was with Herschel Bernardi. Folks can look up who Hesh was. Great guy. Died. They picked up the show and he died at about 3 a.m. while having a bowel movement.
Oh, God.
That almost happened to me today.
Every day.
God, we're a classy bunch, aren't we, lads?
Yes, the class is high.
Second one was written by the folks. I don't want to insult them. I don't want to say who they were, but it was so bad. I was like, really? Come on. We can't do this. So Gary Goldberg, who was the executive producer of Family Ties, the guy who created the show, said, well, come on back to Family Ties and we'll look at it again next year. So next year came. They did the show. Bruce Helford, who's a super cool dude, was the showrunner. Bruce, he did Roseanne Barr's show. He did Drew Carey's show. He did Charlie Sheen's show. He did Roseanne's show again. Excuse me. Bruce is maybe all of about 5'5", 5'6". He's got a little goatee, bald head. And he's like he's not even the hippie guy. He's kind of like the beatnik dude.
So he's really a showrunner or a show hopper at that height?
Showrunner. He is a showrunner.
Okay, not a show hopper. Okay. No. Well, you know, for the longest time, I've never really understood the word showrunner. It's like, are they running the show? Or are they taking the show somewhere else? Are they
Basically. They're like the guys who guide all the script writers. Like,
right. Exactly, Greg. Yeah. They're like the king, the grand fromage.
the big cheese.
Yes.
So they're above the producers, the executive producers, the showrunner?
No, that person's like, they're the shit, man. Okay. They're the shit. Nothing like they go to the network and say, no, we're doing this. They go to the studio and say, no, we're doing this.
Gotcha.
Is it, from an ad agency marketing company background for me, is it like the creative director?
He's the creative director, but also he's picking who the camera guys are, who the
people
are. He's picking, he or she is picking the...
Or they or them.
Or
the set designers, the costumes.
Wow.
Everybody. They are the buck stops there.
Do they pick the producers?
Yes.
Oh, okay. So there we go. So they're like the CEO of the system.
Correct. So I want to hear about this fucking over business. Let's stop quibbling about showrunners.
I had a question, Greg. You shut up.
I'm sorry. I really want to hear the story.
He's going to tell it. I just wanted to clear it up for crying out loud. I'm not the only one who's a moron about this.
We go shoot the show. Show goes well. They get done. They cut it together. They do their test. It tests very high. And Gary Goldberg, to expand his breath, his company's footprint, made a deal with NBC Productions. And part of that deal was that they had to shoot the shows up in Burbank and NBC studios, not at Paramount and Hollywood, where Gary's guys and gals were. And Gary's guys and gals, his crew, sort of did whatever Gary wanted them to do, because at the end of the week, the end of the year, there was always a little something extra in your envelope from Gary. He was very cool that way. What had happened, Greg, was on the show that they were doing at NBC Studios, they had gone the 6 hours and you run into what is meal penalty. Anybody know meal penalty?
No. It's like you have to eat somebody else's cooking.
Very close. Okay. Good. Good. Yes. Not correct. It's good. We got to give you points for, you know, astuteness.
It's when my mother-in-law comes and cooks, that's meal penalty, right?
That's another one. That's good. She may not like it. She may be a little hurt, but incorrect. Right. Greg, you want to venture a guess?
Meal penalty. Does that mean like you can't go to craft services?
Another good guess. You guys are just
if you don't like the meal, you get a penalty kick and you get a drop kick the chef.
Meal penalty is when talent is called to the set and they sign in on the set. They have to be fed a formal meal 6 hours after signing in or before. So typically, my first time on Family Ties. And the first time doing a Hollywood show, the first AD, stage manager, walks up and he goes, "We're going into meal penalty. Will you waive your meal penalty?" And I'm like, "What the fuck is that?" And he's like, "If we don't feed you, we get penalized." And the production company, the studio, the network, they get a penalty that they have already become a signatory to the Screen Actors Guild and those rules and regulations. And it's meant to protect the actors that they get fed at a regular time. That they get a break at regular time, that they have a seat to sit in, that there's a bathroom to pee in. If not, we all know there's fuckhead producers that would take advantage of them, have them eating Oreos and working 16 hours without a break.
Right, so and in a bucket, right.
At 6 hours, you have to have a meal break. They can come up and say, "Would you waive your meal penalty?" Now, being an actor from New York, and you knew once you got the groove going, once you got things happening, you want to stay in the groove. You want to keep the flow happening, especially in a comedy. And everybody at Paramount would always waive their meal penalty because you knew Gary would reward you handsomely at the end of the year, the end of the week, whatever. But up at NBC, they didn't know Gary. They didn't give a fuck about Gary. And when they got to the point on this particular show, and it was like, "Oh, we got a break for meal." And Gary's like, "No, we're just getting this down. It's just happening. What the fuck?" And they're like, "Dude, we got a break for show." He goes, "Let's go, you know, everybody waive their meal penalty." And they're like, "Fuck you."
And, oh, wow.
And then he went to Brandon Tartikoff. Does anybody remember Brandon Tartikoff?
Yeah.
Sure. Okay.
For your viewers who don't know, he was the head of NBC, NBC's network. And Gary went to Brandon and said, "What the fuck? We got to keep going. Force him to go." And Brandon, you know, said, "Nope, we're not incurring the penalty. We can't pay for it. Let's take lunch and we'll all come back after. It'll all be good." And Gary and Brandon got into an argument. And that argument ascended from verbal altercation to
physical.
Wow. No, they just made that noise to each other, Greg. And that would have been awesome to see, though.
Really? And at one point, one of them either said, "You can't have my show," or one of them said, "I don't want your fucking show." And the show they were talking about was The Art of Being Nick with me and Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
Oh, my God. Oh, that sucks. A so simple thing like the meal penalty.
When I started this soliloquy over addressing your question, Greg, and saying rather astutely that I was fornicated.
I have been dolphin fornicated.
That was one of my first of many Hollywood fornications. And when they aired the show, it got I believe it was a 47 share. Once again, trick question. What's a 47 share, Brandon?
Not a clue. 47% of the households that are being surveyed?
Close. Really close, motherfucker. You did good. Okay, damn. Greg? Greg?
This is like quiz time.
Come
on, Greg. Your life is on the line. Greg, answer this question correctly.
I would have said the same thing Brendan said. Yeah, like 47% of viewers, like a Nielsen rating.
You guys are so close. You can smell it.
I wouldn't have been close at all.
All right, Matt, what do you think?
It's the 47 cards you hand off to somebody else, so you keep 5 for yourself.
That's a sucky guess.
Yes. That's when I don't have a clue. and I make up something else. That's where it comes from.
What it means is that 47% of the available audience at that time watching television is watching that show.
So you have a share of the overall audience that's available. Correct. Got it. So, right. you had like near 50%. That's great. Yeah.
Nearly half the United States was watching the show.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, obviously, a 47 share at 11 o'clock is different than a 47 share at 8 o'clock in terms of total viewers, right?
Yes, sir. 11 o'clock would be late fringe. 8 o'clock would be prime time.
Right.
7 p.m. would be early fringe. You know.
So what time frame was your show on?
8 p.m.
Oh, prime, okay. So prime time. 47.
So was it following Family Ties or was it going to have like its own, it was going to be its own slot? Okay. Well, so I never got that far. I do have a question about Julia Louis-Dreyfus. So was this after she was on Saturday Night Live that she was in your show? In your pilot?
Yeah.
Was it? No. Yeah. After Saturday Night Live, yes.
Okay, so she was starting to become a little bit well-known. But for the most part, she was mainly known as the daughter of a billionaire, I'm assuming, at the time. So I was just curious,
her. Dude, I got to tell you, and I think you can tell at this point, how long have we been going? About 20 minutes? 15?
Something like that.
Yeah, about 15. Yeah.
I'm a candid person. I think you can get the gist of that.
Yes.
Yeah.
You're welcome here.
She is a fucking sweetheart. She is a match. She is a great, 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 great person. Her husband, Brad Hall, solid dude. Great people. Phenomenal. You know, their kid played ball with my kids at the Barrington Rec Center. And they were just, she never had any of this shit. Like, oh, I'm rich. I'm a star. Any of that shit. She is a rock solid human.
Just very down to earth. Well, that's good to hear. Julia Louis-Dreyfus, if you ever come across this episode, you can hire Scott now for V. It's okay to do it now. He's the demon lover is behind him.
Oh, God. Ooh, ooh, laddie. There was a mistake.
I'm pretty sure I saw that movie. I don't think it was, at the time, I didn't think it was that bad. But then again, I just watched an episode of Black Scorpion, and I kind of enjoyed that, too. So
Black Scorpion is so bad, it's good.
Yeah, it's a Roger Corman thing. So you expect that camp, you know?
Yes.
It was like so badly campy. But you know, what I thought was really interesting about watching this episode is that the guy from Karate Kid was in it as the bad guy, and you know, he's just recently gotten a revitalization of his career.
Marty Cove.
Yeah, because of Cobra Kai.
Great guy. Another great guy. Truly a great guy. No ego. No bullshit. No like, oh, I'm Mr. Big Dick.
Yeah.
All right. Matt, where did you see Black Scorpion?
Just on YouTube.
You YouTubed it?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah, there's like a few of full episodes of it there.
Full episodes?
Yeah.
So all of our listeners, you know, check it out on YouTube.
Black Scorpion from the like 2001, I think is when that came out.
2001?
Okay. That show we
do not expect high production values, people. Do not expect that.
It was a lot of fun, a lot of camp. We were not getting paid a lot of money. I was doing that as I was transitioning to becoming a producer. Meanwhile, we were putting together the film Deuces Wild. It was another Hollywood lesson.
I saw Deuces Wild too.
Yeah. We brought that in as a two-page treatment, paid the writer. We got the studio, we got the money, we got the cast. And there was a few other fornications through that process where once again, Scotty was learning the lessons of Hollywood.
Oh, mm-hmm. Man. So maybe you should start
Hollywood's like the
class for
Scotty's backside was kind of chafed a little bit.
You could do one of those internet master classes, you know, like you see advertised, and it's like how not to get fucked in Hollywood. And you could like give a couple little, you know, they sit you in that room that's all well lit with these artistic lights, and you're like, I got fucked in Hollywood. And anyway,
dude,
I don't know.
I've gone to college
for that too.
I've gone to colleges and I do sort of, you know, the dude coming in to speak to the acting class, and I always ask for a whiteboard or a chalkboard, and I walk in the class sort of, you know, everybody's talking, then they kind of get a little mum, a little quiet, and then I turn around and I write on the board, and then I turn and I go, today's lesson, and I point and it says, don't fuck up like I did.
What did you, I mean, other people did it to you, but what do you think that you did that worked against you in those parts of your career?
I was too trusting.
Uh-huh.
And I don't want to, and I wasn't the victim. I allowed shit to happen to me, which I had to learn from. Uh-huh. We now have our own investment banking firm. We have companies we own. We have other companies that we structure financing for.
When you say we, are we talking about, are you going through a transition right now or?
No, we have. Oh,
you're saying
they're
going through
firm. Them have their own company and them do a good job.
So who are you referring to when you say we? You're talking about the
me and we my have partner.
Okay, the partners. Gotcha. So partners. These are people that you did film production with also.
No, these are people that around 03-04 my last production deal was at Madonna's company. Mm-hmm. And that was a bastion of fuck upness.
Oh, nice.
I went there. I had one film with Tim Allen and Hilary Duff attached. And I had another film with Damon Wayans and Daryl Hannah attached. Mm-hmm. We're talking 02, 03.
Yeah, when their names were big.
When their names meant something.
Yeah.
And the guys at Maverick were like, oh, yeah, we got the money. We got the distribution. No problem. Bring your projects here. And 2 years later, I'm sitting there, you know, nothing happening. And I'm like, fuck this. I got to get out of Hollywood. People are full of shit. But what I didn't know, in regular business, people are full of shit too.
Yes.
And
As you get older, you realize, see, I expected people to act with the same integrity and honor that I act with. And that's very kind of lofty of me to say, but I'm a good guy.
Foolish.
And I was very naive to think, oh, look, he shook my hand. He's going to be equitable, you know. I could sit and tell you about billionaires we worked with that fucked us. So it's just, that's the way of the world. I mean, look at who just got booted from the White House today. Again, he's a fucker.
Right. Yeah. No, it's like, you know, I've had this, you know, I'm by yards and yards a cynic. I feel like I'm a nice guy, but I've lived a life where I go, yeah, he's full of shit. And I've never done anything, you know, where I really put myself out there. So I've had the opportunity of having that luxury, but there are so many stupid people in the world and there's so many assholes. It's hard to understand how the rest of us get by.
It's amazing the amount of look, I know we shouldn't talk politics, but this asshole who just got fucking impeached today, and I know there are Republicans that are good people and they wanted, you know, some sort of change and they don't want a politician, but the motherfucker lies again and again and again. He paid off hookers and it's documented.
Right. I have to say, he is a master at gaslighting. I mean, he's just like he's the guy from that music video, It Wasn't Me, from Shaggy, you know, where he gets caught basically having sex with a woman in the shower by the girlfriend. He's like, oh, that wasn't me.
That wasn't me.
I didn't.
Well, remember they called Reagan the Teflon president. It's like, fuck, this is the super Teflon president. I don't know what he is, titanium?
No, you know what it is? You know what it is, Greg? There's so many of our fellow countrymen that are that fucking stupid.
Right.
Oh, I know.
And I've just alienated a shitload of people, but you're fucking stupid if you voted for that orange head.
Yeah, well, face, you know, Scott, we don't want those listeners anyway. So if
you don't want to
listen, we probably alienated them a long time ago.
Yes, for sure. We did our Idiocracy episode.
See, you guys are good guys. I'm scum. I'm scum. Yeah.
Greg, he's talking to you. You're a good guy, Greg.
Greg is
you can own it now. You can own it.
I'm the
now.
Scummiest
it's true.
Of the scum.
See, I knew you were going to self-deprecate, you bastard.
You know, this is as great. This is as good as last week when Larry Hankin thought we were all comedians. He assumed we were actually professional comedians, and I was like, "Are you serious?"
Well, we had to disabuse him of that idea because it's certainly not the case.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
And I'm not a good guy.
You know, I am Scott, really disappointed with my lighting here. I don't know who set this shot up, but I look like I'm in a fucking, like...
You need to fire that guy. Fire your lighting guy.
I think it looks good.
Dude, it looks like shit. Come on, I got to correct it.
I don't mind it.
I think what you need to do, Scott, is you need to start doing... Well, that's because I was in my bedroom hiding from the Girl Scouts, but that's another story.
It's just a funny
that sounds
line
like a great
with
story,
no context. That sounds awesome, Brendan.
Yeah, it was true, though.
I was in my bedroom hiding for the Girl Scouts, and then...
and my lighting was shit.
Do you have children?
They started breaking down the door.
The pro-Trump Girl Scouts were trying to seize my capital.
They were marching around, taking over various aspects of my house and throwing Thin Mints at the wall and
taking your podium.
They took my laptop. It was just a mess.
I'm gonna buy you a new podium, Brendan.
Please.
Greg, what are you smoking? Are you doing bong loads? Are you smoking a cigarette?
I'm smoking a cigarette. But I'm trying to keep it off camera as much as I can because Brendan's trying to quit.
Well, you should both quit. Brendan, what the fuck? You're a smart guy. Come on, man.
I know. Yeah, I know, people. I'm self-destructive.
Brendan did quit. I'm out. Let's see. What am I at? Almost two and a half weeks. And the biggest trigger for me right now
is Greg.
Is we do this thing and Greg starts smoking and I'm like, oh my God.
But look at me though. Do you want to be me? Like, this should be like a negative lesson for you. Like, oh yeah.
Fuck you, Greg. Fuck you. Fuck you. Fuck you. Fuck you.
I could end up like this guy.
You're bad.
When I do it,
you're
it's
a
not
negative
glamorous.
Influence.
Yeah, it's not like glamorous. When
in
I
the
do
box
it, like,
right now. Gone.
Get in the box, Greg.
Well, you know, I guess it's one of those things where it's like once a week I have to face this and I go and I get through it.
Brendan, how long have you quit for?
Well, you know, I've quit this time. So it's been like 2 weeks. I could quit around like Christmas Day. Prior to that, I smoked for about 10 years. And then 10 years before that, I didn't smoke at all. So I kind of do this 10 year I smoke, 10 years I don't smoke. You know, so now I'm on the 10 years I don't smoke, which, you know,
dude,
hopefully it's not my last 10 years.
It took me seven times. And I quit anywhere from like 6 months to a year. And then I'd get around some asshole like Greg. I mean, some person.
I'm the whole ass, guy.
Not just the whole.
I'd be like, let me have one of those. Yeah, I could do this. Yeah. I'm cool. I'm not going back. And then I'm like the guy who's like, hey, can I have one of those? And then I was like, okay, I'll only smoke at work. Well, I'll keep a pack at work, but I won't smoke at home. Well, I'll only smoke when I have my fist up my ass and I can't really
That means he was doing a pack a day.
Yeah, I know this all too well. I started smoking this last time 10 years ago because what was like 2008, 2009. So I guess a little more than 10 years. And I was doing a bunch of renovation stuff. And so I was around like these construction monkeys, right? And every so often they would take a break and they would all go out and smoke cigarettes. Then I'd come out and stand around like some pansy ass, like, hey guys, how's it going? And they're like smoking cigarettes, drinking beer. And I'm like, finally, I did the same thing. I was like, I could just have like a smoke with these guys. So I'm like part of the scene. Just one. It's not going to be a big deal. And then suddenly it was a pack a day again.
And that's how Trump became president.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
Wait.
Hey, I don't want to be looked at as a pansy ass from these guys over here doing a construction. Give me the cigarette.
I quit 17 years ago, and I still use this.
What is
that? Oh, wow.
Is that the nicotine gum?
The gum?
I quit about 12 years ago, and just went cold turkey, and haven't touched one since.
I quit at one of the most tumultuous, horrible times of my life. And I thought, if any of there's ever a time to quit, now is the time to quit. Because you know how everybody's like, well, I'm in the right place and I can handle it mentally.
Yeah.
And they hit a little bump in the road, a little hiccup. It's like, well, let me have a cigarette. It's just one. You know, and I thought if I was at like one of the shittiest times of my life, and I thought, okay, if I quit now, I'm the man. And
I just switched mine for heroin. It's been a much better travel that way.
I did too. Much better. Just,
it is. Yeah. You know,
a little crystal meth now and then, you know?
Just now and then. But, you know, the best part about doing heroin is you get the tracks on your arm, and then you can actually get little toy trains and have them go up and down your arm. And it's even. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. I got to say, though, this is the worst time to quit smoking for me because I'm so stressed out by the impending coup d'etat. And, like, I've been wanting to quit recently and quit drinking.
I don't believe you at all.
I swear to God, I've almost had moments of clarity where I'm like, maybe I should quit drinking or at least cut down my drink.
You've almost had moments of clarity. Almost had moments of clarity. I saw them in the distance.
You have to understand, I keep trying to explain to Greg that if there's some sort of Trumpian coup d'etat, The guys up in Portland are fucking totally safe. You know who's worried? I'm worried. These people in Florida are going to go ape shit crazy.
There's a lot of Proud Boys up here. They're going to cause some mischief.
You know
they're
going to
cause some shenanigans.
No, you know Florida's full of fucking just
lunatics. Lunatics. The guy that stole the podium out of Pelosi's office was arrested in the county I live in.
Did you see the pussy? The next day he shaved his beard and he colored his hair. I'm not that guy. That's not me.
Right. And his mom was outside the jailhouse.
You can be an asshole. Fucking own it. Own. Did anybody see the clip that Michael Rapaport put up on wherever he posts to about the asshole that I just need organic food. I'm in jail.
Oh, that guy.
That's the guy in Arizona, right?
The QAnon Rapaport is right.
The QAnon shaman, the guy with the fucking.
You're talking about the actor Michael Rapaport.
The actor. Yeah, you've got to look at his postings at times. It's on. You'll find it on the internet. He's like, "You fucking stupid, you schmuck, you fucking idiot. You're in jail. You're in fucking jail. You're not in Trader Joe's. You're not in Whole Foods."
And you know what? They gave him the organic food too. They caved. They said it's okay.
Wow.
And you know, Colbert was doing something the last night or the night before where he says, "Why did that happen?" And he goes, "White privilege."
Can Bubba give him the organic dick up his ass? Is that possible?
Yeah, I think it's all natural. Yeah.
His dick is gluten free.
There you go.
Well, I don't know if that can be proven, but anyway, why don't we talk a little bit more about your career, Scott? So I know you're moving into like a production area where you were even talking to me about doing something similar to Pluto TV and having like your own network or something like that.
There's my honey. My honey just came in. She loves me. Fuck you guys. I got a girlfriend.
Oh man, rub it in, Scott.
She's hot, okay? She loves me, man. Hi, baby.
Hi.
I love you.
Let's see her.
Let's see her.
Yes.
Greg is being a voyeur right now.
Be careful.
Yeah, I'm living vicariously through Scott right now.
That's really nice, and Brendan's nice, but Greg's a little weird, okay? Greg's been smoking cigarettes.
Yeah.
Here, baby.
Hello, nice to meet you.
Welcome
to a waste of your husband's time.
What is that, honey?
Well, I came up the stairs. It sounded like you all having a good time.
We're trying.
We don't practice censorship here.
Yeah, I heard. I didn't practice the swears, but.
Nice to meet you.
Say bye to the fellas.
Bye, the fellas.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, the non fella.
Bye, honey.
Carry on.
That's what's been happening. I don't even know how to take that as an insult because I'm married. So I'm like, I'm jealous. I'm jealous that I'm not with your wife. I don't know. Okay. Anyway, wife or girlfriend?
Oh my god! Oh my god!
Glad we could facilitate.
Mistress,
Greg.
Yes, it is my concubine. Exactly.
Settle down, Greg.
And he is part of her harem. Let's just make it equal. Little does he know.
Actually, I'm her bitch, and she bought me these new socks. And you know what they say? What do they say, honey?
Whipped and proud.
Whipped and proud.
Oi!
And I didn't even know socks could talk. Her face is on the socks.
Uh huh. Uh-huh.
Oh yes, that's the appropriate slogan for those socks then.
Yes. I'm truly PW'd. I am.
You're sock whipped.
Sock whipped.
I know. I'm just gonna have fun writing the synopsis for this episode. All right. So
you were saying about the OTT we're launching? Yes.
Right. OTT. And tell me again what OTT stands for.
Over the top.
Okay.
And OTT, like Pluto. You know Pluto? Does anybody have Pluto? They do streaming, and
I have Pluto TV.
Okay.
Yeah, these guys don't understand streaming because Brenda doesn't have a TV and Greg doesn't have sense.
Intelligence.
Yeah.
But Greg
time out. Now the squabble comes out of me. I don't understand streaming because I don't have a TV. All I do is stream.
No, I'm saying you don't know Pluto TV because you don't have a streaming service.
Yeah, whatever.
Pluto TV is on a number of different streaming services. On Apple TV, it's on.
Is that the one that shows
Google,
like Gilligan's
it's
Island?
It's on Amazon's Fire Stick. So it's on a number of different ones.
Yeah, I have to.
Not
have
just
a stick.
Roku.
If I don't have a stick, I'm out.
You can have you can have a box. You could have a
down with boxes.
An
and
object.
Sticks.
That's right. Tell that to the hockey players, Brendan. They won't like you for that.
I don't care
because they have boxes and sticks in hockey.
Anyway, let's get back to.
You have an Xbox?
No, my boys moved out. They're grown up. They took all the Xboxes. I had some controllers that I used to hide from them, but they don't connect to anything.
Do you have an Atari 2600?
Right? I have a phone.
I think you should just go around town with the controllers rather than pretend like you're playing the game somewhere.
I'm just going to go sit downtown Clearwater with my controllers like I'm playing Call of Duty with people. Oh, here we go.
Do you have an Intellivision, Brendan?
All right, let's move on. I want to hear about
ONT.
OTT. I'm down with ONT.
Over the top. And it's just that as more and more of us cut our cable and get rid of being the cable company's bitch,
yes,
we receive our content through Wi-Fi or through the satellite, be it 4G, 5G, right?
Right.
And so folks that have an OTT means it's deliverable to not only a television, but also to your ticker, to
yes. We're familiar with that language.
And also to your phone. All right. So the gentleman who's my partner in this endeavor is a guy named Larry Maestrich. Larry had a company called Shooting Gallery back in the 90s. They did Sling Blade. They did You Can Count on Me. He's produced 144 films.
Wow.
Yeah. We're also in partnership with AMC Theaters, but I don't think that really means anything anymore. God only knows what's going to happen to exhibition, you know.
Yeah, because Regal went down recently, didn't they? Regal Cinemas?
Yeah. So, I mean, you know,
so much longer AMC or Century is going to last, right?
Theaters were taking it on the chin anyway prior to COVID, and now with COVID, everybody, you can't go out to a theater and sit in a dark room with folks. Although Greg may. Look, his screen went dark, so he's probably off doing something.
This usually means that Greg's in the bathroom.
Oh, lovely.
Because Greg's bladder is the size of a donut and as leaky. So, we often lose him and somewhere during the show.
It's true. It's true. I'm sorry.
Well, at least you didn't leave it on and we could hear the stream of fluid.
Yes, I try to be conscientious about it.
Con, that was very kind of
That's
you.
That's why I don't bring it up.
Speaking of streaming, so...
Greg has his own streaming service.
He has his own streaming service, which you can get on Roku or Apple TV.
He will come over on your bushes.
Or a stick. A hole in your backyard.
Or walking a dog.
What do you think?
Yeah, oh, I've done that.
Brendan, you have sons, right?
I have four kids. I have two boys and two girls.
Wow. How old?
26, just turned. 24, 20, and my youngest is 11. She's the Girl Scout.
Matt?
I've met his children over the years. Now, I've got five in total. I have two of them are stepkids. So that's between the ages of, I guess, 24 and 19. Wow. So the youngest is 19. So two of them were around the same age, and the other two are like within a year of each other, and the youngest one has got the most gap in terms of time.
Any sons in there?
All of them.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Greg?
Ha! Well, I was in a band in the 90s that toured a lot, so I probably have hundreds of kids scattered throughout the country.
Scattered children.
I don't know.
Hey, wait a second.
Groupie spawn, as we call them in the rock business, in the band business.
Speaking of bands, do you guys know who this group is right here?
Mike Gordon?
I can't read it.
I can't see the one that's over your right shoulder, but the other one says Mike Gordon. What's the other one?
Mike Gordon.
And the other one is just some kind of black and white stencil. Well, almost was able to read it. Something.
It looks kind of cool from what I'm seeing, the art.
It says.
Yeah.
Junkies.
Matt is so close right now.
Hello.
No, no!
Welcome.
Okay. Here's the other one. All right.
Yeah, I can't. I don't know whose bands those are.
I'm not familiar with them.
You got to Google it. You don't know who that is?
What'd the first one say, Scott?
Yeah, we couldn't read the other one.
You don't know what band he's in? Same guy. And you guys live, you're
What's
from fucking
called?
Portland, and Brendan is from Portland. You guys live in Portland?
I'm from Seattle, but yeah.
Okay, kinda. Seattle. Still.
So yeah, so we're supposed to know every.
We don't know.
Oh, well, this is why we don't know him, because he's with Fish.
Oh.
Oh, you're a band bander.
I don't think Fish is from the Northwest, are they?
No, Fish is from
New York,
the Great Northeast. Yes.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
Huh. Yeah, Vermont.
So he's the bass for those for you two who don't know. He's the bass player for Fish.
Mm-hmm. Is that the only band ever to come from Vermont? It sounds like it.
That and Ben and Jerry's.
I've never.
Was no, Ben and Jerry's a band before they made ice cream?
Yeah.
Yeah. They were like Simon and Garfunkel.
Ben and Jerry's.
They had so
Dude,
many
I've got
big
some
hits.
Of their vinyl. Uh-huh.
It's like New York Super Fudge Crunch was their giant hit.
Right.
I love that song.
Hello, calories, my old friend. I've come to eat you all again.
Nice serenading, Brendan. This is unusual.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah.
You guys have got to broadcast this because there's like the consistency of you two. And with you look at Greg's screen, and sometimes it's dark. Sometimes you're seeing smoke. Other times you're seeing the ceiling. Other times you're seeing Greg's chin, Greg's forehead.
Going back to Greg's
ceiling a lot.
Going back to Greg's channel, it's kind of like the acid trip of our like show. You never know what's going to happen. Sometimes like his forehead's there. Sometimes he's perfectly shot. Then sometimes it's just like he's down here like this. And
yes. This show is basically created because of Greg. It's the reason it exists is because of Greg. That's why the show was done. So,
well, I do this on purpose, guys, to give a visual thing to us. Because
yes.
You guys are just, it's like good cinematography. I'm trying to be avant-garde and like,
oh,
things
you've
like
got
this.
Got avant-garde down, dude. You know, you're making me
it's like
now, June Le
Pradard. It's like France to watch with Fro.
So Pluto TV.
Yeah, let's get back to that. I'm actually interested.
Yeah.
So,
are we ever going to hear about this?
So we will produce content. With the advent of Netflix, and a lot of filmmakers went for the easy deal and said, oh, Netflix will buy it. And Netflix now owns about 20,000 titles. And if you have Netflix or anybody that has it, when you sign into your account and you see the library that they offer you, it's usually only about 400 to 500 titles. So the other 19,500 titles are sitting somewhere in their, you know, in their servers that people work their ass off to make that film, and it's not being seen. So
right.
Back in the days pre-streaming, if we made an independent film, we'd try to get it into the theater. Maybe you'd have a limited release initially in Seattle, maybe Chicago, maybe down in, you know, San Diego, maybe LA, maybe Atlanta. And you work to find an audience, and the film a lot of times had a chance of finding an audience and having a following. But now it goes into this dark abyss known as Netflix, and it's like, where the fuck is it? And now we're and not that Netflix are bad guys, it's the technology.
Yeah.
And the technology has taken over that way, and it's kind of forgotten the independent filmmaker. You have these big boy companies, Amazon, Google, that dump shitloads of money into one or two or five pieces of content, and it may have great special effects, it may have great visual effects, it may have great cinematography, but it has no story. There was a film that premiered recently on Netflix that George Clooney did. Great guy, sweetheart of a guy, rather beneficent. But they made the film for $100 million. And I don't know if anybody saw it. Great visual effects, great sets, great cinematography. But there was no fucking story. So you had nobody to root for. You had nothing to hold on to go, oh my God, what's going to happen? Where are we going to? Who are we going with? So in independent films were sort of the heart and soul of, they couldn't, you know, they didn't have the $10, $20, $100 million to make explosions and fucking, you know, lasers and all that shit. You relied upon human element and what was happening between human. So that's what we intend to do with Red Coral. And it won't only be movies. It will be, we were going to have a channel with podcasts. We think guys like you, look at the genius that has happened here over the past 40, 45 minutes.
Genius.
Genius.
It's very cool. It's very entertaining. You guys have a symbiotic yin and yang, push pull, love of each other, disrespect of each other, that becomes engaging. And that's part of when people watch television. Television isn't essentially stars. Television is intriguing folks.
Right.
Look at the show. Does anybody know that show, American Pickers?
Yeah.
No.
So it's about pawnshop. No, guys who go out, they find stuff to restore and sell.
Correct.
Yeah.
Two guys, one paunchy white dude and another skinny white dude, and they ride in their van and they go to a barn or they go to a garage or they go to Aunt Mabel's house and they find old shit and they slightly restore it and they sell it in their antique shop. Now, if I came and I pitched that show to you, Brendan, you'd say, really? Two guys going after old shit? That's not... But what it is, it's this relationship between the two guys. It's a symbiosis of that.
You know what this reminds me of, Scott, is Car Talk on NPR. I never owned a car. I never had a driver's license, but I love that fucking show because those two guys are so fucking funny and clever and they love each other. It's just a great show. I don't give a shit about cars.
It's the human element. And I don't know... Look, I love animals. I'm sure you guys love animals. Doggies, kitties, geckos, birds, whatever. I don't know other animals that sit around and watch the same species do shit. I don't know other animals that sit around and watch the same species portend that they're doing what their species typically does. Something about humans, we love watching other humans. We love watching other humans being in predicaments.
We have had two episodes in a row where somebody used the word species. I don't know where we're heading with this, but...
Species, I hope not.
Species. It's a pattern, I think. We're dealing with humans and Homo sapiens again.
Right, but, you know, just it's so true, Scott. I just got a client who has an independent film who's on Netflix. He was a referral from somebody else. I am by far not a movie promoter, but the guy's got a great movie. And I recommend if you haven't watched Ice Cream in the Cupboard, you should watch it. It's a fantastic movie. It's on Amazon Prime. But again, he made this movie. It's his own personal story of dealing with his wife who had early onset Alzheimer's. Yeah. And exactly.
Thank you. I don't remember what we were talking about.
What? Yeah, you don't remember. But anyway, the point is, like you were saying, it's just buried in Amazon Prime's algorithm. So he played whatever company to get him on Amazon, but who cares? There's a million titles on Amazon, and all you see is what the algorithm pitches you. And that may or may not be what you want to watch. So you end up going to other places to try to find things that are of interest to you because... I'm a web designer guy because the algorithm at those places don't provide the right information, or they just don't give you something. I mean,
well, they think
weird.
you watch, I don't know, BJ and the Bear, and you watch Smokey and the Bandit, and you watch, oh, so all he wants is like stupid hillbillies, you know, racing
convoy.
Or you combine them as Smokey and the BJ Bandit, and then it becomes a completely different show.
That's a compelling
point.
You know, I realize that we have forgotten about our client today. Our client was You Light Up My Life Sustainably, and this is going to be the thing that we're going to address. I mean, we've gotten way into Scott's career, which is awesome. We really like that, but I don't want to, like, give short shrift to the client either. So, Scott, I know this is something that's near and dear to your heart, is discussing, like, a renewable, sustainable energy. Is there something, I mean, that's what your investment firm is basically about, right? Is you support?
Well, it's a big part of, and one of the other owners of the company is a woman who has a degree in engineering and a degree in finance. She was referred to while in college as what the, what was the word? I can't think. So, you know, like a green bean that loved to make money or whatever. And part of when I got sick, I can go back to that story at Maverick Entertainment, Madonna's company, when I had that aha moment, like, I got to get the fuck out of here because everybody's just. And I had known Dakota. I'd known a guy who had a finance company, and they just financed the first turkey manure to power plant up in Minnesota. And actually, it seemed very noble to me to take
garbage, to take literally bio solids, which is commonly known as shit, biomass, tree.
I've heard of that. Yes. Shit.
Shit. Tree. Shit's a very good feedstock for renewable energy. Very good. A lot of BTU value.
No, I did hear that a little bit of an issue with having biomass is that it can create methane in large amounts by using feces. You know, if we start to rely on that,
it already is creating the methane.
Well, I mean, but even more so is like to replace fossil fuels.
Well, the thing is that you use it in either an anaerobic digester, which means lack of oxygen, you capture all that gas, or you use it in a pyrolytic gasifier, and once again, you're capturing the gas and you're combusting the gas. You clean it up and you combust.
Greg, don't you have a pyrolytic gasifier in your bathroom? It's just staring. Not even helping, Greg. You just gave this dead air. What the hell?
I'm sorry. I wanted to say, though, this is a tragic story. I just read about this in like Harper's like 4 years ago, where there was this guy in New York City.
Wait, you just heard about it 4 years ago?
I read about it 4 years ago. But okay. I don't know if you heard about this story, where a guy said basically New York City shits. It would fill Shea Stadium. Oh, sorry, there's no Shea Stadium. It would fill Yankee Stadium every day. He was like, hey, why don't I sell this to farmers as fertilizer? And no one would accept it because they thought it was like New York City shit, which is like Sodom, you know, Sodom and Gomorrah. All these Midwest farmers were like, no, we don't want this like AIDS infested crack shit. And this guy,
oh, come on.
We're going to take all the shit that New York City is paying to ship out. It's like, yeah, I'll take it off your hands.
He's right.
And sell
he's
it
right.
to farmers.
He's right.
Nobody would buy it.
I have visited pig farms. I've visited bovine. I've visited dairy cows, you know, cows that we slaughter. We've visited chicken farms, turkey farms, duck farms. The most stinky, most volatile, nastiest shit is human shit.
There you go, Greg.
No, but he would process it, so it was good fertilizer. Because
you run it through a strainer.
Human shit is it? Yes, strainer or like he would
a flour sifter maybe.
He would transmogrify
it. Work actors.
Shit transmogrifier. Right. But apparently, like it was totally safe and totally accepted by the FDA. But no farmers would buy it. They just thought, oh, this is New York City shit.
Hey, look, there's gonna come a time. Right now, they're allowing private investment firms, equity firms, to buy up water rights.
Oh, they have been, haven't they?
The next war will be about water. And Americans are going to have to grasp one day that we're going from potty to tap.
I know Scott. Yeah, Scott probably knows this, but you guys know who has the most fresh water in the world? Canada.
And no, that makes sense.
I gotta say, in 50 years, when water starts running out, I might be a war hawk and be like, let's invade Canada. I want that fucking water. I'm thirsty. Canada is gonna be fucked in 50 years. Everyone's gonna want to live.
You won't be alive in 50 years. You're gonna keep smoking cigarettes.
I won't be alive in 5 years. I'm saying my all those children I spawned in the 90s that I don't know, they will have to deal with this problem.
You got to give up the cigarettes, dude. You're making some
I know
doughy white guy rich off of you getting
I know.
So you've created, you're like engendering more white privilege, Greg, with your smoking.
I got to say, I don't even mind that I'm going to die of lung cancer. I'm so pissed. Like, the main reason I want to quit smoking is because those evil fuckers in Virginia.
I was in the hospital so many times. You know, I was run over by a truck.
What?
Oh, yeah.
No.
Did you guys not look that up? Go ahead. Tell the story and how.
Please. I want to hear this.
Hit, run
it's
over.
Somehow it's going to tie into the client. It's like he landed on a trash heap, maybe, or something.
And how's this tying to Greg? Hit, run over, and drag.
Greg should probably be hit by a truck.
I dragged.
The guy hit me on purpose, ran me over with the front tires.
Oh, wow.
Dragged me for 2 blocks. Guy who heard me screaming under the tandem axle in the back jumped on the running board, started punching the driver to get him to stop. I died, came back. I was paralyzed from the waist down, learned to walk again. And part of it, I've been in and out of the hospital a shitload since it happened. One of the times I was in the hospital, the guy in the bed next to me died from emphysema, from smoking fucking cigarettes.
Greg.
You don't want to die from emphysema.
I didn't know this was going to be an intervention for me, this episode. I had no idea.
Well, I didn't plan it, Greg. I didn't know Scott was an ex-smoker, but, you know.
Or ex-dragged by trucker.
Dragged by trucker. Wait a minute. How did this guy, what's the backstory of a guy that wants to run you over with a truck?
Yeah.
I mean, I've pissed off a lot of people.
Well, he wanted to use renewable energy. And he was like, no, this ain't going to happen. I'm taking this guy out.
You know Manhattan, right, Brendan?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I think we've all been to Manhattan.
Okay, you know Times Square, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
One block west of Times Square is 8th Avenue.
Okay.
42nd and 8th. And there's the Port Authority over there. Okay. Over there, right? Big bus terminal.
Right.
And I'm stopped on my bicyclette.
On your what? Oh, bicycle.
Bicycle. At a red light. And there's a young Hispanic woman crossing from the east side of 8th Avenue over to the west side of 8th Avenue. She's got a baby in a stroller, little girl in her left hand. And when they got in front of the truck, the asshole popped the clutch to make the truck jerk forward to scare her, which he did.
Oh, my God.
Little girl screamed. The mommy screamed. The baby screamed. And these motherfuckers start laughing. So me and the motherfuckers got into an argument.
Yeah.
At one point, the guy, I said, oh, yeah, you're such a big man. You're going to run over a woman with her kids. It's like, fuck you, honky. I said, great. Not only are you an asshole, you're a bigot. Fuck you. I said, you know, your problem is you're pissed off that you're black. That's what it is. You're fucking pissed off that you're black. And you want to run the whole fucking world over, right? He's like, fuck you. I'll run you over. I'm like, suck my dick, asshole. Excuse me.
Wow.
Did you say excuse me after you said that? That would have been awesome.
Yes, I did.
Excuse me.
And I took off on my bicycle, got between 42nd and 43rd. He ran me from behind, flipped me up in front of the truck. Front tire ran over me, and the back tires came up and kind of wedged me between them and the ground, and I got shoved up to 44th Street.
Was there at least a homicide investigation on this, or attempted homicide,
He was caught. He was charged. He went to jail for attempted vehicular manslaughter and was in jail for 17 years.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So a little bit of justice reigned in New York City.
Yeah.
Wow. And so then that led to wanting to get rid of fossil fuels, because if he wasn't driving that truck, he wouldn't have been using gasoline.
All cars. He just wanted to get rid of all automobiles.
Fossil fuel is good. Everything around us, everything has been touched by fossil fuel. Everything.
No, I really think the parable of that story is that guy was such a piece of shit that we needed to figure out how to deal with all of the shit
pieces
to make the world a better place.
Right. You know what Brendan, what he was doing at the time too?
What?
Smoking a cigarette, Greg.
Ah! Brought it back to Greg and his cigarette.
That is him. And that's what made
Scott,
him all angry.
What's your favorite renewable energy source? Like solar?
Look, solar is great. Thermal. Very simple, very easy. Wind is okay, very simple. I love the conversion of garbage to power, because garbage is supposedly waste. If we can take our waste and convert it to something usable, I think it's fucking great. And you got all these idiots that want to run around with guns, and we're going to bomb the other bad guys, and we're going to get our military out there. What is a way that you bring a military to its knees? You cut off their food and you cut off their fuel. So if we truly want to be independent, we grow our own food already. We've been known as, for a time, we were the world's breadbasket. We fed the world. We don't need Saudi Arabia. We don't need OPEC. We don't need Russia. We don't need the oil. We don't need their gas. We have more gas here than Saudi Arabia has oil. We can convert that gas through LTG plants, liquid to gas, or gas GTL plants, and make our own liquid fuel. We can power our electricity with shit, with MSW, municipal solid waste. So really, that's my favorite. There's this other shit that's really super cool, plasma arc gasification. It heats matter up to like the temperature of the sun. It goes to like 2000 degrees Celsius, not Fahrenheit. It's hotter than a motherfucker. Anything you put in the chamber just, you know, which then creates a gas that spins turbines. But we don't need all that. We don't need that power. You can use simple anaerobic digestion. It's low technology. It's very safe. We've got some facilities that we take dead chickens from Foster Farms, dead chickens from other farm producers. They produce so many dead chickens. Let's use them. Let's use it to make ourselves independent.
So ultimately, we'd be able to like connect one of these devices up to our asses and just create our own fuel in that way.
We would maybe not yours, maybe again. Not Greg's, but Brendan's. I think I've been noticing that he's consuming quite a bit of fiber there and a lot of complex carbs. So
he's have you been eating, Brendan? What's I haven't noticed.
I haven't either.
I've got a lot of shit that I'd be happy to share with whoever needs or wants it.
You could donate to the cause.
I don't mean to be rude, and this has been a blast, but I got a blast because me and my honey, we got something we got to do.
Well, okay.
Thanks, Scott, for your time. That was really fun.
We got to get together, you guys. Seriously. Let's get together. Let's eat food. Let's drink beers. Let's laugh. Tell tall tales. You guys are good guys.
We'll have to do it all virtually at the moment until I guess everybody gets
the vaccine.
Oh, fuck
that. Come on, let's get together. Don't be a pussy. What are you, a snowflake?
Let's do it.
Don't be a cuck.
I am. I'm a snowflake. I am the ashes that left the gas chambers in World War II. That's where the term snowflake comes from, in case you guys didn't know. Anyway, but...
That's not true.
Thanks for sharing.
Feel free to look it up.
Scott, good to meet you, man. Definitely let's have a beer and eat some food together.
Good guy.
It shall happen.
Love. Greg, good man. Love.
He's punching us all in the face.
Yeah.
Matt, you're okay. I mean, you know. No.
I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you.
I would say this has been a really, really fun conversation we've had. And this is basically what we want to do is we just want to have conversations with people, ask questions you don't necessarily get asked all the time, just so it becomes more real. You know, we're too old to be starstruck, but we really enjoy hearing these stories that you had to tell. And you're certainly welcome to come on anytime when we don't have somebody else talking. So,
And Scott, when we do get to talk again, I want to ask you about Justine Bateman and her allure. Because every guy I knew had a crush on her. Every guy I knew had a crush on Mallory. It was crazy, the charisma that woman had.
Next time.
We'll talk about it next time.
All right.
Next time.
Well, just feel free to reach out whenever you want to do that. I will not pester you after this, but if you want to, we'll glory.
And I swear, next time I'll have better lighting, okay? And a better camera.
I'll send you the email about the camera, Scott.
Would you please?
Absolutely.
All right, I've set up my ring light, so I've got the googly eyes now, so you can actually do that for yourself, too.
Ooh, you look cool, dude. I like that.
Anyway, thanks again, Scott.
Have a beautiful night. Thank you very much.
Our client is going to jail due to the lack of time we gave to the client, but hey, it's all good. We at least talked about the client a little bit.
Let's give the client time. Give the client time.
Oh, yes. You light up my life sustainably.
Is it sustainable energy, folks?
Well, no, that's the client. Our client is the topic that we discuss.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Cool. I'm all for burning shit for fuel. Let's do it.
Should we say thanks, Maria?
Yes.
Thanks, Maria.
Thanks,
Maria.
We love you, Maria.
Maria is actually in upstate New York, I think, also right now. So.
Yes.
And she does renewable energy?
It's Greg's sister.
Not necessarily.
So she basically renews the shit that he gives her all the time.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. Later. Happy New Year.
Scott.
Bye. Happy New Year, man. Thanks again.
Later. Bye-bye. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
This has been the Law Offices of Quibble, Squabble, and Bicker Computer Telecast, where any advice has been designed purely for amusement and deep sea diving. Please take a candy on your way out, pet the lion tamer, and subscribe to this computer telecast if you know it's good for you. The Law Offices of Quibble, Squabble, and Bicker deny all culpability in today's events and are not to be confused with real law offices that have a secretary and books and stuff. Thank you all. Have a good day.